Is it rolling, Bob?
Good morning, I'm Jill Dempsey. The City of Toronto's issued a heat alert with hot, humid, and sticky weather moving into the city for the rest of the week. Environment Canada also released a special weather statement this morning, and it's calling for a rise in the heat and humidity in the city and also the risk of severe thunderstorms this afternoon and into tonight. A rollover north of Huntsville has claimed the life of a 17-year-old from Stouffville. Sarah Nicole Girard was ejected from the van as it veered off Highway 11 south of Burke's Falls late yesterday afternoon. And Research in Motion may be struggling, but the head of the BlackBerry maker isn't worried. CEO Torsten Hines spoke on Metro Morning this morning about the launch of the new BlackBerry operating system and why it is being delayed. More news coming up here on CBC Radio.
All right. Enough of the news.
Here's the forecast now. Ooh, for Toronto.
Weather. No, we got
that,
didn't we?
70% chance of showers.
Yeah, we got that. Listen, this is a public service announcement. I'm going to stick this at the beginning of the podcast you're listening to right now to say I have no idea when you're going to be listening to this podcast because you can't even listen to any of my podcasts other than the first 299, which are on archive.org, because I no longer have a host for the podcasts. And this is entirely my fault for letting it slide. It was kindly and so gently pointed out to me, LOL, asshole, that, hey, Apple gave me a full one-year warning. We are ending Mobile Me. Everything is switching over to iCloud. What I hadn't pieced together was that iCloud was not going to be able to host podcasts the way Mobile Me was able to. I guess maybe I'm one of the few, maybe not a whole lot of people use Mobile Me to host their podcasts. I found it reliable. I used the space anyway. It worked very well for me over the years. I've always had a Mobile Me account with my Mac, and I just paid whatever it was, and I never really had any problems. And they kept saying, oh, it's ending, you know, and the move is to iCloud. Well, of course, to fully move to iCloud, you need a higher operating system, which I don't have. So I was kind of waiting. I don't want to buy a new operating system if I'm going to eventually be buying a new computer anyway, and all that. Anyway, the long shot was, as Alex Flint, who apparently works at an Apple store, I believe, somebody I seem to follow, but I don't think I've ever met. Anyway, he said, hey, don't blame Apple, you idiot. And, of course, he's absolutely right. All my fault. I should have seen this. I should have looked in. I just didn't see it. You know, I saw your old syncing is gone. I just didn't see any specific notices saying, hey, you, if you've got a podcast on Mobile Me, you're going to have to move that, too. I didn't piece it all together. I asked Alex. I said, you know, I'm just guessing from the way you've chastised me, correctly so, for my stupidity, my ignorance, my foolhardiness to blame Apple, when, of course, it's entirely my fault. I've assumed maybe he's never listened to the Dixon Janes podcast. Maybe he doesn't know what kind of a jerk I really am in real life, and that this is not a total surprise. And, of course, he said, well, gee, you're right. I'll go listen now. Oh, heck, ha-ha, guess I can't, eh? So thank you, Alex, fuckhead. I'm sure you're a nice guy. I'm sure we'll meet sometime over a beer at some Twitter happening or some other kind of event. And really, I hold nothing against you. I mean, hey, come on, you're telling it like it is. And I've been encouraging people to be a little more honest on social media than, you know, everybody trying to be nice. Like, for example, I really wanted to tear into, oh my God, St. Julian. For, you know how, I don't know if any of you follow his homework series. He tells you what to do. He tells his disciples what to do. Okay, try this. You know, read a book a week. And most of them have been very good. And I thought, well, that's good. The last one, step into an elevator after, be the last one, and face the wrong way. Now, I'd like to think that Julian is just chuckling away and saying to himself or a close advisor, God damn, I wonder how many of those stupid idiots are actually going to do that. How many of those sheep will actually follow my instructions? I don't want to believe for a second that Julian ever believed this was a good idea or this would be helpful somehow to anybody. That this would help make you stronger. This is a way of going against the grain, asserting your independence, just testing what it would feel like to be, you know, doing something that would be clearly annoying and uncomfortable for everybody else in the elevator. Something that, of course, some readers have pointed out. Yeah, my soul's prof told me to do that 30 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever. But I wouldn't say that because, I'm not here to insult Julian. I like Julian. I have great respect and admiration for Julian. If there's ever an event where Julian is there, man, I want to have a chance to see the guy, talk to the guy. Although he's pretty hard to find sometimes. Now, I only mention that because I have to thank Alex for pointing out what a fool I was. Ha ha, LOL. For not catching on soon enough, in spite of all the warnings Apple gave me for hosting, moving my podcast to a new host, okay? So there you go. Even Steven, Alex, Julian. And that's all. I just wanted to say that. So you're getting this podcast sometimes late. Who knows where it's going to be hosted? It's another job to add to my to-do list. But hey, you know me. I got a million other things to do this time of year, this July 2nd, 3rd, yeah, July 3rd in 2012. My students are coming in 20 days. Time to get busy on that front. So enough said. I got to get home and get to work. I got to buckle down. And we'll talk to you sometime. And meanwhile, enjoy this and future podcasts. And if you're ever interested and want to hear any of the backlog of podcasts because you came late to the game, visit archive.org. Just Google Dixon Janes, DixonJanes, and you'll find at least the first 300, because I'm going to put all of them up there now after this fiasco. Thank you, and goodbye. Yes, I still have my cold, but welcome anyway to Dixon Jane's podcast number 356. Holy shit, eh? That's a lot of podcasts. That's a lifetime. 7 years. And much of it trivial. Much of it nonsense. But, hey, it's ongoing therapy, And best of all, it's free, more or less. Oh, God. I'm doing something I don't do often enough, and that is podcasting from my back deck at home. Sitting in a comfortable chair, two cushions instead of one, my feet on the other chair. I should get a kind of a lounger. Yeah, summer treat. I'm looking up at our Japanese maple, which is huge. We bought it when it was just a little fella. And they're just gorgeous. The color of the trees, the red of the leaves, especially when you look up at it. The sun is shining, coming in from the east, shining on the leaves, so they're just lit up, this beautiful bright red against the clear blue sky. It's a perfect day. Here it is, June 29th, maybe, would it be? A little butterfly going by. What's the date? Come on. Yeah, June 29th. Oh, my God. Canada Day weekend, and followed soon by the American holiday. I usually do a podcast around this time. If you looked at my last one, episode number 300, what did I just say this was? 356? 355, you'll see a poster showing America. This is on the blogspot. That would be dixonjeans.blogspot.ca. And the poster shows America at home. More people per capita than any nation on earth in prison, right? More people in prison per capita than any nation on earth. Outrage. Something is wrong. Something is very wrong. They do America abroad, so that was at home. And abroad is more money spent on war than the rest of the world combined. Now, maybe somebody wants to challenge those figures, but hey, they can't be that far off. It's just, it's sad. This country was so much greatness, but it's a country with a history of war. So I guess I'm talking to you American listeners out there, and man, I this is not against individuals, because any of the Americans I know are nice people. But then again, I don't know the bad guys. I don't know Mitt Romney, and if I did, I you know, maybe, geez, as a neighbor, maybe he'd be a nice man, you know? Clean, doesn't smell bad, picks up his litter, you know? I don't know how he is with his pets, but anyway, you know what I'm saying? There's something very sick about this nation, and it's paranoia, and I maintain that it just got a whole lot worse after 9/11. I think it just, that 9/11, the bombing of the Trade Tower, or the destruction of the Trade Towers, the terrorist attack, call it what you like. It was not an inside job. These were external forces attacking America. Just absolutely shattered that nation. And unfortunately, the forces of darkness, the forces of evil, the forces of force gained strength from fear and paranoia. And it just made them a whole lot stronger. So now we're living in America that's much less freedom. Not we're living. Sorry, you're living. If you're American out there, we are your neighbors. We're always frightened of you. Excuse me, got a samosa on the go for breakfast. It's just, there's a polarity. Now, what I'm finding very interesting is my mindset this morning and the past couple of days has been very, very much back in the 60s, back in the time of my youth. I'm reading an excellent book, one that it would be very hard to find, and it was one of these random finds at a good used bookshop in Toronto. You know how I'm praising used bookshops. It's called Prime Green, Remembering the 60s by Robert Stone. An enticing journey whose only flaw is its brevity. If Hemingway had lived through the 60s, he might have written this book. Excuse me. It's truly excellent. I mean, this guy was there. He knew the people. I mean, he knew Neil Cassidy. He knew Ken Kesey. He was one of them. He was a writer. He was. Apparently, there was a movie I never heard of, but acclaimed author of 7 novels, including A Hall of Mirrors, which was turned into a movie. Winner of the Faulkner Foundation Award, National Book Award, winning Dog Soldiers for Dog Soldiers, short story collection, etc. Anyway, I'm just so glad I found this sort of it. You know, that's the joy. I wouldn't know to go online. You wouldn't fucking find it in chapters if you remember my last podcast. But you go into an online, a used bookshop. Yeah, the blending between the online and the used. Because some of the used bookshops, the only way they can survive is to sell their books online. And maybe that's okay. It's a bridging, you know, of two cultures. You go in and you browse and you look sort of an era of sociology, psychology, and you find these things. And if it's a good bookshop, they'll have Ram Dass and Timothy Leary and The Beats. So I know it's rude to eat while I'm podcasting, but anyway, reading that And then on Lorenzo's Psychedelic Salon, which I'll post another link, but I've told you about it many times on this show, really, that is just a treasure trove. And he'll be back. By the time you're hearing this, he's probably posted a new Terrence McKenna. But he found, or was given, three transcripts, tapes by Timothy Leary. Sound quality was very bad. It sounded like he was doing it in a private house, but Timothy Leary, somewhere in Germany in 1983, giving what seemed like a private lecture. And by the time you listen to the third CD, this out. Oh, God. Ooh, spicy samosas from a local Scarborough shop my wife bought home. By the time you listen to the third tape, it's much better. And you feel the warmth of the man. You feel his intelligence. You feel his charm, his personality, his sense of humor. He was truly a great, great man. And, you know, I'm just glad. I think there's a resurgence. I think another generation, certainly my generation, always has known about him. Although, actually, so many people just dismissed him. Oh, yeah, that freak. Because the media tried to destroy him. I don't want to go into the whole story of Timothy Leary. You already know that. But he was, basically, this ties back into American history, okay? Well, this is the theme here. He was blacklisted, as they did. I mean, he was thrown into jail just to get out of the picture on stupid small pot charges in Texas. They were out to get him. He was considered a threat to society. And this is no different from the way America used to criticize the Soviet Union for locking up Solzhenitsyn, the dissidents, anybody who criticized their society. Lock him up. Put him in a psychiatric institute. Well, they did the same with Timothy Leary. And man, to his credit, holy shit, a heroic escape thanks to the Weather Underground. You know, live to tell his tale. They tried to break him. He survived. They tried to break him in military school. When he was a strong man. He was an important man. He is a man of our times. He is a legend. His message must go on, because if you listen, if you filter through, then tune in, turn on, drop out, and you really listen to what he was talking about. He got computers. He got the internet long ago. Anyway, I am sorry. I do go on about Leary, but it's just sometimes I feel this need to remind people there are heroes, and he is one of them. So anyway, today, I just noticed on Facebook, I have a link. As I mentioned, Sylvain found a new transcript of a conversation between John Lennon, Yoko Ono, Timothy Leary, and his wife Rosemary at the time, from the Bed In for Peace in May 1969. And of course, this is a terrific link. This is our friend Sylvain Grandmaison in Montreal, because he rented that room at Podcamp Montreal, the last one we went to. Sylvain rented the John and Yoko suite, and it was fabulous, and we had it for the weekend, and we ended up going back there and partying, and it was fantastic to be in that room and just share the fun, the vibes, and so on. And then the next night, of course, Bob of Bob and Mark Pab fame said, "Hey, I need a hotel room. I think I'll stay here." And that was a treat. I ended up back there very late at night after a wild party with our good friend Brian and myself and Bob on John and Yoko's bed. Yeah. Anyway, Sylvain posted this link that on Facebook, and it just led from this wonderful transcript of the conversation between those people. And it was the first time, of course, they had met, Leary and John Lennon, the greats of the time. Now, I got to tell you, to be truthful, as much as I love John Lennon, in terms of intellect and power, I guess they both had tremendous influences. Lennon, through his music and his simple message of Give Peace a Chance, guided very strongly, and rightly so, by Yoko. But Leary had greater depth, and insight and wisdom. He was older. He was a psych professor. He knew what he was talking about. And he understood the forces of evil in a great way, because he wasn't isolated from it the way Lennon sort of got cocooned in the Beatles, and they lived in, sometimes they really touched ground, or as Leary was always grounded as high as he might be. He got reality. This is the time when Leary was running for governor of California against Ronald Reagan. And they put a stop to that by just simply throwing Leary in jail. But he wanted to debate Reagan on television. It would have been great. And America couldn't have that. So there you go. It makes me very, very proud. And when I started saying that America was full of crazy people with the hands, you know, on a lot of weapons, and it's become paranoid, and people are still being locked up, and they still have this stupid anti-drug campaign. Damn, there was a thought to be completed there. Ah, yes, it's still capable of producing great heroes, Leary being one of them. But the funny thing is, America likes to portray its other heroes, you know, the Davy Crockett's and the John Wayne type of hero. Although he certainly wasn't, he was just a pussycat. But you know what I'm saying, and they're not quite ready to say, hey, Timothy Leary was a great man. He was one of ours. But maybe through all that chaos and through all the darkness and the evil that's there, and the cynicism and these forces that do dastardly things, like, you know, really, in a sense, America is really responsible for that drug war in Mexico, with the brutality and the horror that's led to through their stupid drug policies. But anyway, I'm trying. It's so hard because I've done this before on the eve of an American Independence Day, Canada Day weekend. Tried to say nice things. Hey, Jesus Christ, what's that? Remind me an ant. I tried to say nice things and just get so caught up in focusing on all the things that are wrong. But, hey, it's up to you to get out there. Vote for Obama. Bring him back. Do not let Mitt Romney anywhere near your White House. And, God damn. See if there's some way you can wake up some of those blind Christians and have them see again. Because I know there's got to be lots of you out there who are good guys. So again, this is not a personal attack on individual Americans. This is an attack on your fucking country. God damn it. This monster that has become America. Okay? All right. That's it. We're going to put that aside. I've just posted on Facebook also that our good friend Rob had posted something about proud to be a Canadian. I had put down that I am less proud to be a Canadian now than I was 10, 20, 30 years ago. I do not like our Prime Minister, Stephen fucking Harper, and just wish him out of office. But unfortunately, he's there for a long time, and he's got a majority. And he's going to ram through any changes he cares to make. And he has a vision of Canada, which sure doesn't match mine. And I think it's just moving us in the wrong direction. So, no, I am not proud to be a Canadian right now. I'm fucking disgusted by the state of our government. Nobody runs for... The good people don't run for politics. It's the greedy people, the selfish people. The country is just sick. I can't find the right word, with corruption. Is it rife with corruption? I don't know. Infiltrated, certainly, the industries. I tried to launch on that last time. Maybe that was in the recordings that never got released. Like the Quebec construction industry, the road paving industry, and so on, that are completely controlled by mafia-style organizations. Biker gangs have taken control of so many now legitimate businesses that they'll just be very hard to uproot. They've cut back the money, so you just don't have the money. I mean, Montboucher, this horrible, horrible man, leader of the Hells Angels in Montreal, can hire a team of lawyers And the prosecutors don't have a chance. It's just not enough money to stand up against these guys, you know? That the bad guys get the money and the power and the guns and can intimidate, and people are just afraid to stand up against them. And it's sad. I just do not like living in a society full of very sick and nasty people. It's wrong. I don't know how we're ever going to, you know, I mean, I'm pie in the sky. I just want a better, happier, cleaner, nicer, friendlier world. But, I mean, you start leaning in that direction and suddenly you're sounding like a churchgoer, Bible thumper. And that's not where I want to go either. It's a gray world, I guess I want. I'm comfortable in the gray zone. But there's darker shades of gray where people get hurt and people do violence and people intimidate and people bully and people just plain take advantage of other people's weaknesses. And I would just like a happier, nicer, kinder, gentler, more loving, more open, more tolerant, more forgiving world. And gosh, I don't know that's going to happen. But you see, full circle here, I really do believe those are the values of Timothy Leary. Those are the values of John Lennon. Those are the things they really did care about. And we're fighting for. We're putting their reputations at stake for. And we just need more heroes. We need to shed a light on our great heroes. I can't have any conversation about heroes without mentioning the godfather of them all, which is Henry Miller, the writer Henry Miller. As a writer and as a man, he lived in Big Sur. He lived in poverty a good part of his life. And people think, oh, Henry, the guy wrote all those sex books. No. The guy who had courage to face life, to look at life in its rawness and openness, the man who celebrated life, the man who saw joy in life, the man who was full of passion and love. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. So I have my heroes, and I'm glad I have my heroes. Henry Miller, there you are. It's another American. You see, this is the irony of the whole thing. My heroes, well, Lennon and Leary, and I can't really ever call Jack Kerouac one of my heroes. I probably have before, and I take it back. It's just not fully there. He was too flawed. He really did give up far too soon. But Allen Ginsberg, I would call a hero for all his flaws and shortcomings and so on. And there's another, you know, another great American, Allen Ginsberg. Well, where do you see him celebrated today? You don't. So America, my message to you, find out who are the real heroes and celebrate them. Talk about them, read about them, share them, point others in their direction. Start with Timothy Leary. Start with Allen Ginsberg. You know, care about these people. Okay, I guess that's it for a start for Dixon Jane's podcast. Holy shit, we've gone on for 20 minutes. How? No wonder these bloody things fill up so soon, eh? What can you do? All right, anyway, it's a Friday. It feels like the holiday long weekend is here already. I haven't had a drink, by the way, since last Saturday. I haven't gone on a stretch this long for a long time. That was that party. So Saturday before midnight, I had my last glass of beer or wine or whatever it was, and I think I've had too much of a cold to even care since then. But, man, I feel I'm going to have one tonight. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Scarborough Dude on the Dixon Jane's podcast. A man who cares. A man who has still a little bit of passion stirring within him. And I want to get it back, and I want more of it. I want more of that juice of my youth to come back to me now. I need that surge. I need that caring. I need that love. I need that feeling again. I just don't want to give up, grow old and gray and die. I want to care again. So, you too. Talk to you later, and bye for now.
Hummingbirds hum, what do they hum? Little girls wearing pigtails in the morning. In the morning, la da da, da 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 da.
merry-go-rounds are going round in and all over the town in the morning, in the morning. Wa-da-da, da-da-da-da. Summertime's here, and look, oh, there are flowers everywhere in the morning.
Canada Day, one and all. Sending my greetings from Bluffers Park. It's evening. It's actually 9:15 now. I just felt I had to get out of the house. I still have, of course, this cold, and my poor, dear, long-suffering wife has it too. And but she decided she'd stay home. I actually spent a very enjoyable Canada Day, and I think I'll start with that. Woke up, went out with Brian last night. Let's start with that, okay? Went out long overdue to see my buddy Brian to sort of celebrate his 65th from the week before. Of course, to the only, and you get your sample tray, 5 different beer for $10, you know, and they go through it, and that's kind of fun. Sat out in the back, and the deck was a nice evening. Then another pint, and then let's take a stroll, you know, and went to the Eaton House, and it was dead. And the Eaton House, you don't want to be with there when there's no band. Like, you know, I talk about this place, but, man, you got to get out of there fast if there's nothing happening, because there's nothing more depressing than an empty Eaton House. So kept on walking and ended up just stopping at Allen's for just a... We just needed a nightcap and to sort of try and tie the evening together. The thing that's so important to me about my relationship with Brian is that we have nothing to hide from each other, nothing to prove to each other. We're beyond all that. This relationship is 30 years plus, right? So we can talk quite intimately and openly about our children, about our role as fathers, as husbands, about our wives, and share these confidences. And goddamn, folks, hang on while I put this in the visor. That's a nice thing to be able to do. It really is. Because it's a release, right, you know? And the conclusion, as we conclude every time, is that Brian and I are, in fact, very nice guys. It may be that our families and wives don't always recognize that, but we know it about each other, and I think some other people who are friends recognize it. And basically, we summed it up that our role in life is to do what we can just to make other people feel good. It's quite simple, and I think it's quite a wonderful thing. I think it's a very noble calling, and I don't mind saying that. You know, my job is to make you feel nice, okay? Simple as that. There we go. Now, it doesn't work with everybody. Barnacle Bill would be the first to throw that right back in my face. And, you know, friends, close friends might say the same thing. But, I don't know. Anyway, moving on from there, today's Canada. I woke up and, I wasn't entirely over my cold, and I had a splitting sinus headache. And I thought, oh, fuck, this is going to be bad. And we only had, you know, 2 pints and 5 samples during the whole course of the evening, you know, during about 4 hours. So, I just had to sort of grope my way downstairs in the dark and take a Tylenol and then sleep in till 10:30 and felt wonderful. And came down, turned the TV on to Channel 6 CBC and watched the Parliament Hill ceremonies. And I really enjoyed it. It was just a good feeling. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed Feist. I enjoyed Simple Plan. I enjoyed, I was going to say Roche Vachon. What is his name? And I've been saying it right all day. I'm so sorry. Anyway, you know what I mean. Popular French-Canadian singer. And it was great. And I love the balance between French and English. And I was feeling good about Canada. And, of course, as we were watching that, we're also flicking over on Cable Pulse 24 to the Pride Parade, one of the world's biggest, if not the biggest. And that was a wonderful thing, too, the fact that there's such a huge celebration. Not only that it brings millions to the economy, but that this is something we're known for, that Canadians are tolerant of gay marriage and you know, sexual variations. We just, you know, we're tolerant and we're forgiving. And you got to hold that up against an awful lot of countries out there who still want to lock these people up, beat the shit out of them, kill them, any number of things that just ain't right. And I also reflect on the fact that, hey, when I was in school 50 years ago, if you were gay, there was no such thing as coming out of the closet. You hid it for fear of being teased and treated badly and maybe being beaten up. And anybody who wasn't capable of hiding it, it just, you know, I think we had people, the expression then was, hey, he's a little light in the loafers, you know. You sort of laughed, tolerated. They were just like, they were like the dumb kids at school too, the bobs. They were very unforgiving and very, very cruel. Not to my knowledge did anybody get beaten up for this, but you're just, hey, it was a joke. So you, everybody, you know, the deal was appear straight, because that's your only hope. So the point being, we have come a long way, and this is a lesson I just take great pride in teaching my new Canadian students, the ones that come over here from China, from India, or wherever, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, and when I, in front of the class, I make sure we discuss gay issues and gay rights and expose people's prejudices and poke at them a little bit, including the ones where the parents would only let them marry somebody of their same religion or same, you know, socioeconomic status, you know, from India, heaven forbid, you know, a white person marries somebody darker and so on. Not that I'm an expert in these things, but these are just issues that students, if you give them the opportunity, are willing to talk about. So I think it is, I think we have come a long way, and I think those are things to be proud of. I didn't even mind, I didn't even feel animosity towards Prime Minister Harper. He looked like he was having a great time out there. And I did find it funny that as the Governor General stood for the various salutes and so on, he had to stand in front of steaming horse shit because the horses had just gone by. No time to clean that up, you know. And he and Harper, I think, joked about it. It seemed very fitting somehow. Forgive me. But I want to move on from there a little bit. May as well finish the day anyway. So from the gay pride, from the events on Parliament Hill, to the European soccer match, Spain beating Italy 4-0. It was kind of nice. My wife and I watched all these things together, which we don't often do, and it was very pleasant just to sit on the sofa, and then, of course, out for a big sushi tray tonight for supper, our treat. So, all in all, a very pleasant, relaxing, stress-free Canada Day celebration. I think I'm bringing it up because I felt, I think I posted on Mr. Wooby's Facebook page, that I felt grateful to be Canadian, but did not necessarily feel proud. And it was actually the gay pride issues that made me feel prouder. But in terms of who we are, we're the best. I get really uncomfortable with that kind of nationalism. We're the best. We're number one. Yay, Canada. We're so good. And I think, hey, back off a little. Let's look at everything. Let's look at how we treat our poor and how we, what our role is in the rest of the world and what's our environment record and so on. I think there's a lot we want to look closely at and not get too smug about how wonderful we are. And I think a lot of people who are just here and have never left the country don't go through that exercise, you know. They just sort of say, hey, yeah, we're great. That's that. And I think you got to look at the bigger picture and always look at what we could be doing better, okay? Now I want to move on to America, but before that, and this may come as a welcome break, it may not, another outburst on my part, more anger, more frustration, more bitterness, more of that feeling of just take fucking machine guns and mow all those cocksuckers down, that kind of feeling, you know what I mean? And this is to do with the Islamic fundamentalists in Timbuktu in Mali, who vowed to smash every single mausoleum. These are things that are heritage sites, protected for the world, part of the history. They go back to the 13th century, I guess built by the Sufis. Well, the Sufi sect is not in keeping with whoever the fuckers are who've taken over Timbuktu. And they just went in there with pickaxes and machetes and destroyed these centuries-old mausoleums and vowed there will not be anyone left in the city. And that mindset, it just fills me with so much anger. It's the same if you remember. This is quite a few years ago now in Afghanistan. They had these huge carved statues of the Buddha carved into the walls of mountains. And they were wonderful, just big reliefs. Well, these were idols. And they went in there with guns, and the guns didn't do enough. And they just bought in high explosives and destroyed these centuries-old Buddhas because nobody can have them. And that mindset, that kind of, I mean, this to me is even more evil than Hitler, if you could compare. And I'm sorry, you can't compare. I take that back. No comparing here now. Who's the most evil? But that kind of ignorance, that kind of willful blindness, hatred, and it's the same people who not only have destroyed these historic sites, but have gone into the border towns in Kenya, where there are many Christians. They've got a history of Christianity. And thrown grenades into the Christian churches. And then as the people fled from the grenade attacks, just mowed them down with guns, you know, as they fled for their lives. And just countless people injured, maimed, killed. In the name of their fucking stuff it up your big, fat, stupid, goddamn ass religion. I hate feeling this angry. I hate feeling this venom surge through me because I want revenge. And that's exactly the feeling we're trying to stop. But you can't reason with people like this. You just simply can't get in there and tell these people, hey, that's... Would you boys put down those machetes for a minute? Let's talk about this, okay? You can't do that. You can only meet it with brute force. And you've got people who are just trained from, you know, near infancy into this kind of blind stupidity, this hatred. And it's a terrible scene. You can see bodies lying in the churches, you know. It's all over. And I guess I'm picking at one people. This isn't sort of tit for tat. This isn't, well, the Christians mounted an armed attack and went into Somalia and started burning down mosques. No, sorry. This is armed, hateful Islamic militants vowing to destroy, you know, people of false religions, destroy false idols. And I don't know what to do by that, you know, what to do about that. How do you cope with that, and how do you stop yourself from being so angry? How do you stop yourself from sort of screaming at the next Muslim you meet and saying, you and your stupid fucking goddamn religion, ban all religions in Canada, bam, them. Oh, right, overnight, there's no fucking religion. Well, no, sorry, that is not a very smart, a very enlightened point of view. No, can't do that. Can't do that. But, you know, it's almost that feeling, it's calls for desperate measures, and what are those measures other than more war? And we know that's not the answer. So I don't know where to park that. I just know that I hear these stories, and people can say, well, stop listening to the news, but it doesn't make it go away. It doesn't stop the event from happening. I mean, the same thing's happening in Mali, the same thing's happening everywhere. Innocent people, women, children, unarmed civilians are being attacked everywhere. And you say, yeah, but the Americans do that too. One doesn't cancel out the other or make the other one justified. There's just great evil happening all over the world. But now, I think we really just simply have to open our eyes up to the fact that there are certain groups and certain mindsets who are willfully full of hatred and want vengeance and want to hurt and kill and maim. And they got to be stopped. They got to be stopped. So I don't know. I'm sorry. It's probably not the message to share on a... hang on. It's not the message to share on a Canada Day holiday. And, of course, this is going to go run right into the American celebration July 4th weekend. And it almost makes me understand sometimes why the Americans have such... reactionary attitudes, you know, after 9/11 and after what they're seeing around the world, and it's just a wonder they've been able to keep a lid on it. So I don't know. Maybe my job is to go out and to meet some Muslims, bring them on the show, tell them how I feel, and help. I've tried with one man. I met one man who I really, really liked, another teacher who I worked with, and I tried to befriend him. And we exchanged emails. And we would have very civilized, very, very polite conversations. And he always wore a suit and tie. And when this happened, I was still teaching at the school when they had, the group that took over Afghanistan originally, the Taliban, had gone in and blew up these statues. I said, what, how can you justify that? Like, this is unforgivable. And he didn't know how to deal with it. Like, he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't have an answer. He sort of dodged the question, and I realized I was just making him uncomfortable, and really, what could I say? What could he say? And a couple of times I made further attempts. I thought, I need a Muslim friend, you know, I need somebody I can talk to. I need somebody who can help me. See, no, the vast, vast majority are peaceful, God-fearing people who want peace and would never hurt anybody and are grateful for the wonderful life they have here in Canada, do not want Sharia law and want to keep the freedoms and will treat their women as equals. And I'd call bullshit to a lot of that, but I do need a little help, and maybe I'm already too close-minded on that point. And again, I feel I'm on very dangerous territory because I always think this Garbo dude's got to be the voice of reason. You know, I don't want to listen to any fanatics out there. I don't want to join forces with any neo-Nazis. There's enough of them crazies out there, too. I don't want to find myself on their side. I don't want to find myself on the religious Christian fundamentalist right wing either, you know. I guess I'm just looking for, surely there's some sort of balance somewhere in the middle there. I don't know. I just read another Rex Murphy author, and he said, no, you can't explain, there is no middle ground for the people who, like in England, you know, blew up the buses and tried to plant bombs on the subway. There is no reason, there is no justification, there is no trying to say, well, they did this because America did this. No, these are people who have to be stopped in their tracks because they have no qualms whatsoever about killing and maiming innocent people. Okay, God, I'm sorry I did all that and shared it with you, but, well, here we go. James Carter, friends with Francis Ruby, also commented on Francis Ruby's status. My next move will be, let's go see what James Carter has to say on this little thread of Canada Day celebration. Let's bring it, let's reel it back in and stick with Canada Day, and we'll do America a little bit later on, okay? What have we got here? Oh, come on, where the fuck is that? Here we are. Bear with me, James Carter, Francis Wooby. Come on. I posted, I only have to recall my high school days of 50 years ago. No one would dare admit to being anything but straight. Sadly, that's still true in much of the world. And James Carter writes, that my next move will be Mexico. I'd much rather deal with a bunch of dope dealers than the American government. Okay. Don't know where that came from. I can't see what it's quite in relation to, except that Francis started it all off, and I'm very grateful and proud to be Canadian. So, we'll leave it there, shall we? And we'll pick up the next thread will be America. All right? And for my American friends who do listen to this, and the few new ones of you who have joined up recently, thank you for your tolerance and your forgiveness, and please understand that I'm trying to come from a good place, but I'm also just trying to call it the way I see it. All right? Take care. Dixon Jane, Scarborough Dudes, signing out on this wonderful Canada Day evening. Bye for now.
Well, there's diamonds on my windshield and these tears from heaven. But I'm pulling into town on the interstate. I got a steel train in the rain. And the wind bites my cheek through the wing. And it's these late nights and this freeway flying always makes me sing. There's a duster trying to change my tune. He's pulling up fast on the right, rolling restlessly by a 24-hour moon. And a Wisconsin hiker with a cue ball head, he's wishing he's home in a Wisconsin bed. But there's 15 feet of snow in the east, colder than a well digger's ass. And it's colder than a well digger's ass. Oceanside, it ends the ride with San Clemente coming up. And Sunday desperados slip by and cruise with a dryback. And the orange driving, the neon billing, and the theaters filling to the brim with slave girls in a hot spur and bucket full of sin. The metropolitan area, interchanging connections, fly-by-nights from Riverside, out-of-state plates running a little late. But the sailors jockey for the fast lane, so 101 don't miss it. There's rolling hills, concrete fields, and the broken lines on your mind. The eights go east and the fives go north, and the merging nexus back and forth. You see your sign, cross the line, signaling with a blink. And the radio's gone off the air, and it gives you time to think. And you hear the rumble as you fumble for a cigarette. Blazing through this midnight jungle, remember someone that you met one more block. The engine talks, whispers home at last. It whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. Whispers home at last. And the diamonds on my windshield and these tears from heaven. Well, I'm pulling into town on the interstate. I got me a steel train in the rain, and the wind bites my cheek to the wing. Late nights, freeway flying, always makes me sing. It always makes me sing.
This is awkward. I'm sitting in my office, home office, in front of my computer, looking at GarageBand, and I've got 6 minutes to wrap this baby up. If you are listening to this podcast now, this is Dixon Jane's number 356. Doesn't have a title yet, but maybe fucked up or something might be good or screwed or... Oh, mama, can this really be the end, to be stuck without mobile me? I don't know. I fucked up. Okay, it's as simple as that. And if you know me and you're not surprised by that, this whole bloody fiasco of Apple closing MobileMe and giving us a year warning in advance, hey, you know, here's the day, June 30th, be ready. And of course I wasn't. So now anybody who's a subscriber to my podcast is, boom, it ain't there. And it's very hard for me to get back into Apple and sort of say, oh, would you mind redirecting Dixon Jane's? It's now on a new server. Because I just let this go. And I'm not going to apologize. Hey, why the fuck should I? I just screwed up. It's like a whole lot of things. It's like my phone. I phoned to cancel a Rogers phone. I had lost it a year ago. Remember one of them fell in the toilet and I just took the chip out and... Oh, fuck. Where's the phone now? Hang on, would you? Yeah, we're back. Oh, God. That phone that I lost, I didn't report it lost and or broken. And, of course, I should have. I don't know why I didn't. I just didn't. And so they said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And I said, but I've been paying for, like, the extra 15, 20 bucks a month for these features, like call display and everything on a phone I haven't used for a year. Can't you just get that back to me? Give me a credit? Well, only for the past 3 months, you know, they agreed on that. But anything before that, you've paid. We can't dispute charges going back further than 3 months. And basically what he said was reasonable. I screwed up again. You know, I just didn't stay on top of it. For Christ's sake, it's the story of my life. Like, there's too much shit going on. Anyway, at the end, I bitched and, you know, threatened to quit. And, I'm not happy. Is there anything else you can do? And I said, well, what other services? And I got my TV and I'm renting a cable box. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you your cable box, which you're paying $12.95 a month for now for rent. I'll give it to you free for a year. And, of course, I felt better. And I was polite, and I thanked him. I said, you did a good job. It is my fault. I know, and I'm taking ownership for that. The same way I'm taking ownership for this whole fucking podcast screw-up. And but let's not just talk about that. There are so many more ugly things in the world going on. And, well, gee, no, you don't want to talk about the ugly things either? Well, God, what's left? Okay, here's a story. That man with the, you know, zircon fiber optic bounceable plastic legs who gets to run in the Olympics, fuck that. Hey, this is not a level playing field. This, I'm sorry the guy was born without, you know, femurs, lemurs, whatever it was he's missing, and they gave him these neat legs and he can run around and bounce the hell out of them and zip across finish lines in record times. This is great. Race him against a cheetah. Race him against people in electric wheelchairs or something else. Don't put him racing against normal legged people in a race. This is a sideshow, a circus show, and it's just simply not fair, and it's ridiculous. It just bugs the hell out of me. And if anybody's saying, oh, but gee, you know, cheer him on. Yeah, cheer him on. Good. The guy should be really pleased as piss. Not only can he walk, the guy can fucking run. I don't know. Maybe he can't walk. Maybe he can only run because of those legs, you know. I have no idea. But anyway, I don't think he should be competing in any event against normal, air quotes, able-bodied athletes, okay? All right. I don't like it. It stinks. It smells. It's a circus. Ah, yes, I'm an old grouch, but, you know, why wouldn't I be? Anyway, boys, girls, tell your friends. I need a few listeners back. There's probably only, I'm probably down to a dozen now, if that, listeners of the Dixon Jane Show. And if I'm going to keep putting this out and keep putting in the effort that I do, if you can call it that, I'd like to have a few of you back. I'd like to have those old subscribers I lost when Apple canceled Mobile Me. I'd like to have all of those people back. So if you got a friend, tell them. And meanwhile, just go to the blog. If you can't figure out how to subscribe or I can't fix it, just go to the blog, DixonJanesBlogspot.com or whatever it is. You know the one. That's probably where you got it now. Yeah, DixonJanes.blogspot.ca, not com.ca. And you'll find us there. So thanks for listening, and talk to you again soon when we get all of this stuff sorted out. And meanwhile, the world goes on. It's got to be a whole lot better. There's a million more things I want to say, and that's just going to have to wait for the next podcast. So yeah, they're going to keep coming. Oh, by the way, archive.org, anything you missed, the past, by Friday or Saturday, the past 350 episodes will be loaded up on archive.org. Just Google Dixon Janes or Scarborough Dude and you'll find me. Thanks, boys, girls. Take care. And let's make this a better world together somehow. Do something nice. Do something real nice and good. An act of kindness like our good friend Todd traveling to New York on his bike with his son on a tandem bike and raising 300 acts of kindness. That's a wonderful thing, and I'm going to get in there and find something good that I can do. Bye for now.